Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So in our gospel lesson today, the disciples were struggling just a little bit. They were struggling about these words that Jesus was saying. They were struggling and talking with each other. What does he mean? In a little while we'll see him, in a little while don't. In a little while, what is going on here? And they kept bickering back and forth. In a little while, what's he talking about? And the reality is they were missing the whole point. They were missing the big picture of what Jesus was communicating to them. They were struggling with what really mattered in life. The reality is, I think that the church, the Christian church today throughout the world, continues to struggle with what really matters. As I look out across Christendom, this is what I see. I see churches and denominations that will argue over what's a sin and what is not a sin, that will argue over things of homosexuality and abortion, which are truly important things in our world, and we have to uphold those truths. And then we'll argue about anything else under the sun. And what Satan has done is worked his mighty craft in keeping the church from focusing on what really matters. Now, yes, it is important for the church to take a stance. And yes, it's important for us to uphold what is right and true. But when those things that are not the truth, the real importance of life, become the focus of the church, we know we have lost focus on what really matters. And as a result, what the world hears and what the world sees is not Jesus, but our own made-up human religion. And we thank God and praise him that in our lesson for today, he shows us what really matters, that in him, they, the disciples, and you and me, will continue to have life, joy, peace, and hope. The reality is today the Christian church is losing its way. We spend more time focusing on creating fear in people because they're different, because maybe they're a different religion or they have different sins or whatever it might be, instead of spending time in the heart of what really matters, and that's the love of Jesus. His overwhelming love for you and for me. That love that seeps down into our woundedness and our brokenness and redeems us, makes us new, buys us back from sin, buys us back from death, and buys us into the glorious richness of God's grace in heaven. The reality is, this is what happens in our churches today, and this is the muck and mire that we have created. We have people today who are constantly worrying, and I'm not talking about the normal worry that we all have. I mean, worry is normal, but some people that are so rooted in worry that they bury their lives in it, that they can't have any peace and hope and joy because worry blocks them from receiving that redemption of Jesus Christ. We have people who are lost in fear. We have political candidates and churches across America, even today, creating more fear on this Sunday morning than what really exists in our world. And if you really think about what really matters is God's love, of course they're creating fear, and that is the work of Satan in the church. Because Scripture teaches us that God is love. The opposite of love is fear. And that comes from Satan. And all across our great nation today in this world, their churches filling their people with fear, the opposite of love. Doubt. Doubt comes in, and here, you know, there is normal doubt. I just read a quote from St. Ambrose this morning, one of the early church fathers, that said, doubt is not something that we should be afraid of. Doubt is part of the Christian experience. It's normally there. But now we have people going around in our world today that are condemned for having doubts, condemned for having questions, condemned because they don't think and act exactly the way we Christians think they should act and operate in this world. And then there's the practical application of what it means for you and for me. I can't tell you how many people in our world today, Christians, go on living in this world with this false notion of Christianity. And what I hope you will see is a notion that we all struggle with because it's what we've been taught. It's what we hear. It's what we hear when we turn on the radio and the TV and see and hear these pastors. It's what modern Christian evangelicals and the modern religion of America today want you to believe. And here this is, okay? It's all about your personal faith. How many times have you heard that? It's all about how much you believe and what you do for the Lord. It's all about the fact that you don't have any doubts or fears. It's all about how much you love Jesus and how much you do for him. Is this ringing a bell with anybody? Raise your hand honestly if you've heard that before. I just want to get a look. Okay, so this is not new, right? This is what we hear in our world. And then we have people that come into our midst and they have tragedy and they have burden in their life and they come to me and they say, Pastor, I guess my faith isn't strong enough. I guess I haven't loved Jesus enough. I guess I don't really believe. This is the reality of what's happening in Christian world today. This is the reality of the majority of people that walk into our church off the streets. This is real, and I would venture to say that at some point in our Christian journey, I know I have, and I bet you have wrestled with those thoughts too. Especially when things get rough in life. It's easy for us to begin to be led astray by Satan and thinking, oh, what have I done? Oh, maybe I've not believed enough. If only I had prayed more. If only I have done this. Do these things sound familiar to any of you? It's okay to admit it because it sounds familiar to me. This is the struggle we face in our world today. Now, what I'm going to share with you right now will probably turn Christianity for you upside down. Maybe it won't for some of you, but for some of you, it probably will. And it's something that I think the church has to start speaking more clearly and more intentionally into the hearts and lives of our people. It's something that I think Lutheranism gets and a lot of churches don't get. It's something that I believe will continually change the world, and I believe that the church in the United States will continue to die until it grasps this message. And here's what it is. It does not matter how strong your faith is. It does not matter your doubts, your fears, your worries, or concerns. It does not matter how much you pray, and it doesn't matter how much you love Jesus. Now, let me stop there for a second. We had a discussion in Bible study this week, and those ladies were wrestling, and I'm glad they were not really wrestling each other. That would be inappropriate in church, but they were wrestling and struggling, and when they got it, you could see their eyes light up and their heads spin. No, their eyes lit up, their heads didn't spin. And they were excited. And here's the reality. Let's focus on this a little bit, because this is reality. This is what it means in our Christian world as we walk this walk. So many people today think love is a feeling, right? Oh, I fell in love with somebody. Oh, I feel love for that person. Or more commonly, as people walk in and they're struggling in their marriage, I just don't know if I love them anymore. I don't feel it. Well, good for all that touchy-feely love, but the reality is, love is not a feeling. Love is not an adjective that we use to describe something. Love, as used in Scripture, is a verb. It is an action. Love is something we work for, strive at, and continue to do every day. The common notion of marriage today built on love and feeling is wrong, and that's one of the reasons why we see divorce so rampant in our country. Because it's something you have to work at. It's something you don't give up on. And here's the reality. Love is hard to do. Who would agree with that? It's hard. Do you guys love your spouses all the time? Let's be honest. It's hard. Sometimes you really have to work at it. Now, I will say that I love my spouse all the time. Just so declare that up, okay? Since I have the microphone, I'll clear that up for you. But don't try to be like me because, okay? But no, in reality, it's hard. And here's the other picture. If we want to be honest about this thing we call faith, listen to this. It's hard to love Jesus sometimes too. Wait a minute, Pastor. That's uncomfortable. No, I love Jesus all the time. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm here today to tell you if you believe that, you need to let that false notion go. There are days, there are times, it's hard to love Jesus. Now follow me. God says that he is what? Love. Right? And we talked about this for a little bit a minute ago, but no, follow me on this. If God says he is love, what's the first thing little old Satan will do and what pops in his mind? If God is love, what is my goal, Satan says? To keep people from experiencing and acting on what? Love. Love automatically becomes hard to do because of our sinfulness. Because Satan is alive and well in this world. Even though he's dead and he's destroyed, he still has a little bit of power he's hanging on to, trying his hardest to win over Christians. So love is hard to do. And the reality is, I'll be the first one to tell you, there are days where, you know what? It's really hard to love Jesus. When your children die, it's hard to love Jesus. When your spouse dies, it's hard to love Jesus. When you've been diagnosed with cancer, it's hard to love Jesus. When you're going through life and all Hades breaks loose, it's hard to love Jesus. Let's be realistic about that. Far too long, the church has pretended otherwise, and what happens is we have Christians going around who doubt their faith because they believe, I don't love Jesus enough. Isn't that true? I mean, this is real. I'm not making this up, am I? I mean, these are struggles we all carry. We don't measure up enough. We're not living up to what Jesus wants. How can I do it? I must not love him enough. Here is faith and probably the most profound thing that we can grasp in our life. Here is what really matters. I don't care if you get anything else in the world. I don't care if you leave here today struggling with the seven-day creation or struggling with what happens in baptism. I don't care. That does not matter to me at this point. What matters to me at this point is that all of us leave this sanctuary today with what faith really is. And here it is. It's plain and simple. It's not about us. It's about how much Jesus loves us. It's not about the strength of our love, the strength of our faith, how much we hold on, how much we doubt. Faith is clinging to the fact that no matter what, Jesus loves us perfectly. That's the beauty of faith. That's why God gives us his word and his sacrament, so that every moment of every day, he is pouring his love out upon us. The moment we begin to think that faith is anything more than plain and simple about the love of Jesus he has for us, the moment Satan starts to do a dance. Because he's leading us away from what really, really matters. What I hope is that gives us overwhelming comfort, because it points directly to what Jesus does for us in baptism and in his word and his sacrament as he reaches into our lives and says over and over and over to us, I love you. Simply receive it. There's nothing you have to do. Surrender in my love, and I will fill you with it. The world will be hard. There will be times that you may think you don't love me enough. And I appreciate that, Jesus says. I really do. Because that's awesome. That's what relationship is. There are times I don't love my wife enough. There are times I don't love other people around me enough that I have relationships with because I'm a sinful, fallen human being. And sometimes I'm selfish, and sometimes I'm greedy, and sometimes I'm just everything else that really looks ugly and nasty in the world. But the reality is, I surrender to Jesus, and his love covers over a multitude all of our sinfulness. All of our doubt, all of our fear, all of our worry, all of our past, our present, and our future. The gospel is simply the very fact that Jesus gave his life and rose up from the dead for you and for me. And the confidence in Romans 8 that nothing in all creation will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is the Christian message. This is what the world desperately needs to hear. We as Christians can't elect politicians to enforce Christianity and our rules and regulations on people. We as Christians cannot sit back and expect other people to do our work for us. And by the way, our work is not going out and enforcing what we consider the law to be on people. Our work is going out and loving them where they hurt, where they are broken, so that they may experience what you and I get to experience every day, the overwhelming power of God's love in their life. Whether they're homosexual, whether a Muslim, whether they're an atheist, it does not matter. Our call and our wonderful task is to go out covered in this love of Jesus and wrap our arms around a world that desperately needs to know what really matters. Jesus loves them. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves all of us. You see, if we truly believe the words of John 3:16, say it with me. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. God so loved the world. Before he even put you in it, he already knew he would love you forever. He already knows he loves even the sinners and the unbelievers that are outside of his grace right now. He never stops loving. Never does he stop loving his creation. In a world today where we are bombarded with fear and messages of hate and messages of whatever else bombards us, including the age-old message of Satan that you will hear in most Christian churches around the world today. It's about you. Make sure your faith is strong. Make sure you're doing the right thing. It's in this world where we boldly stand up and proclaim, it is not about me at all, but about the overwhelming love of a God who gave his Son to die for us and to rise for us so that we might be with him forever. That's what really matters. And may the Holy Spirit infuse that into the depths of your heart and your soul. Because as it transforms us, this very same message will certainly transform and change the world into a new creation. In the name of Jesus, amen.